Praise the Lord. All right, 179. I am so glad. We spoke of it this morning in our sermon on finished work, the promises of God. We have the promises of God in Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that we can stand on those promises. Amen, church? That was the craziest sword drill I've ever seen in my life. Oh, praise the Lord.
Standing on the promises of God, my Lord, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling songs of doubts and fears are said, by the living word of God I shall prevail.
Amen.
Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my Lord in all. I'm standing on the promises of God. Woo-hoo! Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Indeed, church. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Oh, it's so good tonight to know that we are depending upon God's promises and not man's. The arm of flesh will fail you. Man will let you down, but Jesus never will. I am so glad of that tonight. He will never let us down. Oh, glory. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. And don't forget to invite somebody to church for next Sunday. We'll have a special service in the evening. And open up your Bibles tonight at this time, church, to Revelation chapter number 9. Revelation chapter number 9. Another message tonight that's been waiting 2 weeks to get out is this one. And as you know, we're going to finish up, attempt to finish up chapter 9 tonight. As you know, I mentioned when we began chapter 9 a few weeks back that to me, it's having read through the scripture so many times, this chapter is the most horrifying chapter in the Bible. The things that are portrayed in this chapter are literally going to take place on this planet. If the world only knew, they'd get saved quick. They would repent and trust Jesus Christ as Savior in order to avoid this time period where there will be two massive demonic invasions upon planet Earth, where literal creatures out of the bottomless pit will come up and torment men and women for 5 months, a horrific time. We saw the first 12 verses, which was the fifth trumpet judgment and the first woe judgment. Tonight we're going to look at the sixth trumpet judgment, which is the second woe judgment. Look with me here tonight, remain seated, and look with me at verse number 12. Remember, our final verse from last time was verse 12. We read, "And one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Just when the 5 months' torment by the demonic creatures ended, and they thought, oh, we have some respite. Nope, it's going to get worse right now. Believe it or not, it's going to get worse than the first 12 verses were. I'm going to show you why. Look with me in verse 13 tonight for the sixth trumpet judgment, second woe judgment. Verse 13 we read, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, and which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year. For to slay, not torment, but slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Oh me, oh my. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for this most incredible passage of Holy Writ. Lord, we thank you for the things that are portrayed here, that divine judgment is falling upon planet Earth, and it's because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we know that these things will come to pass because the Bible says so. Anything the Bible says will occur, mark it down, it will occur. Lord, I thank you that you've never been wrong. You've never missed a single prediction or prophecy. Everything you have said has come to pass, and everything you've said will come to pass because you are God. We ask you to bless your word tonight, O God, and teach us concerning this horrific sixth trumpet judgment, this unbelievable second woe judgment. Let us see what it means in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. People, with the sounding of the sixth trumpet judgment, four fallen angels bound in the Euphrates River are released. Look at verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. That's in heaven. But something occurs on earth, amen? Saying to the sixth angel, which is a holy angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, these four evil angels of verse 14 are the actual leaders of the second wave of demonic invasion upon planet Earth, both occurring during the first half of Daniel's 70th week, the first 42 months. Now, remember, the first invasion was led by one fallen angel, Abaddon. Remember that? Apollyon. But this one will be led by four. Also, while the first invasion was only to torment men and torture them for 5 months, this one will be in order to kill men. Okay? In fact, this evil demonic army is commissioned to kill one-third of the Earth's entire population, resulting in billions of dead bodies. Billions, folks. Right now, there's 7 billion in the earth. I would imagine that this is going to be near 3 billion bodies. You can't bury them. There's too many. You know what that means? Pestilence, disease, horrific stench worldwide. You talk about the smog of Los Angeles. You don't want to smell this. It's going to be bad. Now, also, the second wave invasion is indeed much worse than the first. Look at verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now notice that God says there is a specific hour, a very minute timing for the release of these four angels. Everything that occurs is according to God's timetable. Everything is either caused or allowed by God. Now, this is going to be bad. Then the Holy Spirit reveals the exact number of these demonic creatures. Look at verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. Yeah, I heard their wings flapping together. Now, folks, 200,000,000 is how many?
2 million.
How many?
2 million.
More. Huh. Anybody know? 200,000,000, you got to put 6 zeros. Okay? You got to put 8 zeros altogether because it's 200 million. 100,000,000 is 100 million. So it's 200,000,000. See that? In verse number 16, he gives us the exact number. Scripturally, it's 200 million. 200 million. Imagine 200 million of these creatures we're about to look at coming at you. You've got no hope whatsoever. Now, many preachers teach that this army is actually the 200 million man army that China boasts that it could put on the field. Let me tell you something, folks. They're not Chinese. They're not Chinese. Believe me. Now, it's not. In fact, because this army of 200 million is led by four fallen angels, demons, this demands that they are of a demonic nature. Okay? Their leader is demonic. Their leaders are four fallen angels, each having 50 million of these creatures under their command. Four of them, equaling 200 million. Now, they're not human. They're demonic. Furthermore, the location of the source of this invasion is the Euphrates River. You see that in verse number 14? The great river Euphrates? Euphrates is not located in China. It's in Mesopotamia, ancient Babylonia, the place that is the seat. Scripture always connects with demonism, spiritism, child sacrifice, demonic Satanism. It centers in Mesopotamia where these guys are coming from. It's not Chinese. Now, by the way, next we have a ghastly description of these evil beings. And one would be hard-pressed to find one Chinese person who looks like this, let alone 200 million. Amen. Look at me at verse 17. These guys are ugly. Verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. I haven't seen anybody walking around with the head of a lion yet. And out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, scorched, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power, they're flamethrowers. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents. Those are poisonous snakes. And had heads. With them they do hurt. Wow. You don't want to run into one of these characters. Amen. Now, the mode of death which they will inflict upon their victims demands supernatural involvement, folks. It says they will die by the fire, smoke, and brimstone which proceeds out of their mouths. That's not a human being doing that. That's a demonic creature coming out of the abyss. Now, rather than natural, these are supernatural because they kill with fire and smoke and brimstone coming out of their mouth. Now, another passage of Scripture which describes graphically these two demonic invasions is found in, go with me to Joel chapter 1. In Joel chapter 1, we have these very beings described in graphic detail by the Holy Ghost. Look with me here in Joel. I love how the Bible connects together entirely and completely. In Joel chapter 1, from verse 15 to chapter 2, verse 10, there is an incredible, detailed illustration describing these evil creatures that will come up out of the pit. Look with me in Joel chapter 1. And hold your place in Revelation. We're going to be flipping back and forth so that I can show you who this is that Joel's speaking of. It will be clear by the time we get done. Look at verse number 5 of Joel chapter 1. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. They're spiritually drunk in the world right now. And howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number. Notice, without number, whose teeth are as the teeth of a lion. He's talking literally, folks. And he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Now, notice their teeth. This army of invaders, they have teeth like a lion. Go back to Revelation. Hold your place in Joel. We'll keep coming back and forth. Revelation chapter 9. Look at verse number 8. And they, this invading army, had hair as the hair of a woman. And their teeth were as the teeth of what?
Lions.
Lions. This is why you need every word of Scripture is important. Amen? Because he's describing, Joel is describing the same thing that John is describing in Revelation chapter 9. Back to Joel. Something else. Another comparison. Secondly, look at verse number 12. Verse number 12 of Joel chapter 1. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, Israel, during the tribulation period. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. And all the trees of the field. Let me just give it to you. That's representing Gentile nations, okay? The trees of the field always represents the Gentile nations of the world. All the trees of the field are withered. It's tribulation. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. There will be no joy during the tribulation period. It's a time of divine judgment like never before. Now, go back to verse number, go back to Revelation chapter 9, verse number 3. Here's what I want you to see. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Why? Because in Joel chapter 1, verse 12, it's speaking of the judgment of the tribulation period. Therefore, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 3, the locusts come up because it's the time of judgment. All joy is withered away. All the trees of the field are withered. They're all being attacked. They're all being annihilated. Now, something else. Thirdly, look at verse 14. Joel chapter 1, look at verse 14. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Israel. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the what?
House
of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Beloved, there is a temple during the tribulation period, according to verse 14. The whole context of Joel is the day of the Lord, the tribulation period. You know that. We've seen that. But in verse 14, he says, go into the house of the Lord, the temple at Jerusalem, and cry out to God. See that? The Jews will do that, by the way, during the tribulation period. But here we see clearly that there is a tribulation temple built. And by the way, folks, they've got all the building materials in Jerusalem right now. They've got every stone, every piece of timber. They've got all of the vessels for the holy for the service of the priests. It's all there. All they got to do is have permission from the government to put it to erect it. And they said they can do it in 12 months. 12 months to put that tribulation temple up. They will, because we know the Antichrist will walk into that temple at the mid-trib. All right, something else. Look at verse 15 of Joel chapter 1.
The temple, is that going to be built before the
rapture?
Rapture or in the midst, or it'll be right before the midst of tribulation?
I don't have scripture, but personally I believe it will be built after the rapture. Reason being, the temple of God today is you. And you and you and you and me. We are the temple of God. That's why there's been no temple for 2,000 years in Israel, because we are God's temple. So these temples have to be taken out before that temple can go up, I believe personally. We could, who knows, maybe they could start it before the rapture. But we know that it will go up. Point being, it will go up. Look at verse 15 of Joel chapter 1. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Notice the context here is the day of the Lord. Clearly, it's the seven-year period of Jacob's trouble, the Daniel's 70th week. He tells you when this demonic invasion will take place, during the day of the Lord, the 70th week. Fifthly, look at verse 16. Is not the meat cut off before your eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. Notice in verse 17, he says there's a worldwide famine. There's no food to eat. And you know who controls the storehouses of the food? Antichrist. At this time, if you don't take his mark and go along with the program, you don't eat. You want to get folks desperate? Withdraw food and water. They get desperate real quick. Something else. Sixthly, look at verse 18 of Joel chapter 1. How do the beasts groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, that's the Gentiles, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. That's Gentile nations, folks. It's tribulation time, worldwide. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Now, notice the word fire in verse 18, the word fire in verse 19, the word fire in verse 20. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 9 again. There's fire coming on planet Earth in great multitude. It says in verse number 18, by these three was, this is Revelation 9:18. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Back to Joel chapter 2. Joel, we come to chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Seventhly, look at verse 1. Blow ye the what?
Trumpet.
Trumpet. Now folks, the trumpet here spoken of in verse 1 of Joel 2 is the sixth trumpet judgment. See it? The sixth trumpet blows, and guess what happens? The 200 million man demonic creatures come out of the Euphrates River. You see that? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. This trumpet is the second woe judgment, or the sixth trumpet judgment, clearly. Go with me to Revelation chapter 9 again. Look at verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the what?
Trumpet.
Trumpet. He says, blow your trumpet, boys. Blow that sixth trumpet. Back to Joel chapter 2. It's the sixth trumpet. Eighthly, look at verse number 2. It is a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. Now, notice in verse 2 the word darkness. Where's the darkness coming from? Back to Revelation chapter 9. Look at verse 2. It is amazing. By the time we get done tonight, you're going to say, wow, this is really incredible. Look at verse number 3. In Revelation chapter number 9, look with me at verse number 2, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were what?
Darkened.
Darkened. Darkened. By reason of the smoke of the pit. The darkness comes from the bottomless pit, folks. This couldn't be any clearer when you put the two together. Back to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 2 again. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, in verse number 2, Joel sees the approaching demonic army invasion. And he says, it's a great army, unlike any army I've ever seen. Back to Revelation chapter 9. Look at verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. He hears them and sees them coming. It's 200 million, folks. Back to Joel, chapter number 2. This couldn't be any clearer. It's the approaching demonic creatures. Tenthly, look at verse 3. A fire devoureth before them. Fire. And behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Listen, folks, they breathe fire and burn everything in their path. When they come at you, they incinerate anything that comes before them. Go back to Revelation chapter 9. Look at verse 17. And I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. If you escape the fire, they'll chew you to death. Chew you up. Look at it. Were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Can you imagine? And these aren't like these little flamethrowers we got today. We're talking something that can probably cover a football field, you know? I mean, huge flames of fire just spurting out. I mean, all over, burning everything up in sight. Back to Joel. Something else we need to see. Not only do they breathe fire, look at verse 4 of Joel chapter 2. Verse 4. The appearance of them is as the appearance of what?
Horses.
Horses. Seems we just read that in Revelation 9. And as what?
Horsemen.
We just read that. So shall they run as horsemen and horses. Back to Revelation chapter 9. Look at verse 17 again. And I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them. Horses, horsemen. Clearly, back to Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. It's, and by the way, it says in verse 4 of Joel chapter 2 that they are as horsemen. You see that phrase in verse 4? They are as horsemen. They're not men and they're not horses. They're horsemen. You ever seen these satires in Greek mythology where the guy has the body of a horse and the head and torso of a man? Yeah, it's eerie, isn't it, Mary? It's eerie, man. You know where they got that? From the Bible. Because that's something, you know, these creatures are half, they're half animal. It's incredible. Verse 5, though, notice their ability to leap high. Verse 5, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. And like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. They have the ability to leap real high. So if you try to run from them, they take a leap about 300 feet in the air, and they come down in front of you. Whoop, you run right into them. You see that? Notice their ability to leap high. Something else. 13th. Look at verse number 6. Joel chapter 2, verse 6. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather what?
Blackness.
Blackness. Why? What? Why? What's making their face black? Now, go with me to Revelation chapter 9. It's soot.
Yeah.
Soot. You ever clean your fireplace?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You get mighty black, don't you? Look at it. Verse 18. By these three were the third part of men killed. By the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Everything turns black that they touch. Woo. Back to Lord Joel chapter 2. Notice something else. In verse number 7. They're unstoppable in their attack. Verse 7. And they shall run like mighty men. They're not men, but they run like mighty men. See that? Like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. They have leaders, four fallen angels leading the march, okay? They are unstoppable in their attack. Back to Revelation 9. Look at verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. They do hurt. You can't stop them. Something else. Verse number 8. They cannot be hurt. Look at verse 8 of Joel 2. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they shall fall upon a sword, they shall not be wounded. Did you see what that said? That's, you can run them through. With, that's right, Marion. You can't kill them. She's got it. You can literally run them through with a spear, and they'll just pluck it out and say, ha, 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 you know, with the fire. They can't be hurt, these creatures. Something else, Joel chapter 2. They cannot be kept out of your house. Look at verse 9. They shall run to and fro, and in the city, they shall run up upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. He says, those boys are coming in your house, and there's nothing you can do about it. Your watchdog won't help you at this point. He'll be burnt up. Your Smith & Wesson, your Glock 19 like I got, won't help at all. It'll bounce right off. They're coming through the windows, and they're not opening it. They just crash, you know. Something else, back in Joel chapter 2, reveals, verse 10, that their supernatural effect. Look at verse 10, revealing their supernatural effect upon earth. The earth shall quake before them. They're big. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now, this is incredible because verse 10 reveals the supernatural effects that this demonic invasion is going to take upon the elements, upon the heavens and the earth. There's going to be great quaking. Something else. Look with me at verse 12. This is important. Look at verse 12. Therefore also, now saith the Lord, turn ye... Now, what is the context? We're in the what? Tribulation period, right? Divine judgment is falling all over the earth. But look what God says. Verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn, that's repent, unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. God is telling the people during the tribulation period, will you now repent? Will you finally turn unto me that I can stop this havoc upon planet earth? God is calling for universal repentance, folks, and he's not getting it. Go back to Revelation chapter 9. I want to show you one of the most stunning passages in all the Bible. Don't miss this. Revelation chapter 9. God is asking them to repent, begging them, pleading with them. Verse 9, tribulation period. Verse 20. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, demons, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. They're worshiping something that can't help them, can't hear them. Look at verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, devil worship, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Wow. I don't know about you folks, but this absolutely blows my spiritual socks off. I read this and I can't believe what I'm reading. God is sending demonic invasions upon the earth, and yet they refuse to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Wow! How wicked is the heart of man! How depraved is the sin nature of Adam's race! In the midst of all this chaos, they still refuse to repent It's unimaginable. But look at chapter 10. In chapter 10, verse 1, another mighty angel comes down. Now, in chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 2, it's parenthetical, folks. Let me explain. The book of Revelation is not chronologically in order, okay? This next chapter is parenthetical because it speaks of the events that will take place during the middle of the tribulation period. Remember, we're still in the first half. So next week, what we're going to do is we'll pick it up in chapter 12, verse 3, where we finish up the events that will transpire during the first half of the tribulation period. And then the following week, we'll come back to verse 10. So we're going to study it as it unfolds. Amen. Father in heaven, how we thank you for tonight's message. Lord, it is absolutely horrific what is going to take place on planet Earth soon and very soon. Lord, we know that all of the signs are in place for your imminent return. We know that the trumpet will blow shortly. The church of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be raptured out. The Antichrist will come on the scene. The tribulation period will begin. And these things will happen literally. Lord, my heart's burden tonight is to warn as many people as I possibly can before that trumpet blows to get saved quick. There's no time left. There's no time left, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've shown us here in this church that there's no time for sin. There's no time for shenanigans. There's no time for playing church. We need to be busy about our Father's business till that trumpet blows. And we need to make every single day count for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God's sake. And we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand. Boy, oh boy. Things are going to get ugly. But I'm so glad that we know the truth and we are on the winning side. Oh, Lord. 174, people. And 174, let's sing the first, second, and the fourth. Don't you just love them tonight? I mean, there's nobody like Jesus in this universe. Yes, indeed.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Amen.
It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfectly.
Amen.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me on the forehead. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest wound. When each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below.
Amen!
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Glory to God. Oh, what a great song tonight. Good singing. Brother Mark, why don't you dismiss us in prayer and praise the Lord. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us all back together in a couple of weeks of being away and not doing too good. It includes me, of course. But thank you again for bringing us back together again. And thank you for the preaching. And thank you for the camaraderie between us all. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.